Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here in the final episode of our Free to Be Holy book series. We've been reading Matt Lozano's latest book, Free to Be Holy, Discovering Who You Are in Christ. And if you are just tuning in for the first time and haven't read the book, stay with us. You are going to be really blessed. So I have with me Matt Lozano.
Woo! Hey, Jacqueline.
And Lisa Livesey.
Hi, everyone.
Such a privilege to be with these two deep thinkers. I think you're going to hear some really good stuff today. So real quick, the day we're recording, it is a rainy, rainy day, rainy week in April. It's that classic April showers moment, which made me think, wow, there's so much to look forward to in the future of spring. So my question to Lisa and Matt today is, what's something about the spring that you look forward to?
Well, for me, it's just the flowers. This is such a beautiful place to live in the Philadelphia area in April. The trees are bursting forth with beautiful blooms. I have a lot of daffodils in my yard that were already there when we bought the house, but literally, I counted one year, there were over 1,000.
Oh, wow.
And so it's wonderful. It's just beautiful. So the flowers are just magnificent.
That's awesome.
That's what I look forward to.
For me, I'd say it's the same thing. My wife has some beautiful gardens. And when the grass greens up really nicely, mm-hmm. it's just really wonderful. But it's a double-edged sword because then allergy season starts.
So it's
2 months of misery. Visually
Matt.
Just stunning, but not great on the sinuses.
So Matt looks at the flowers out his window.
That would be a good idea.
That's right. Oh, life. Well, mm-hmm. Thanks so much. That's good. I'm sure all of you can think about the things you look forward to for this beautiful time of year for many. Right now, I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit more. We are so excited that Matt was able to join us today just to kind of give us a little bit of backstory, insight. How did this Free to Be Holy idea come about and how did you get a book out of it?
So it was one of the graces of the pandemic, really. Is God's always working. So we were thinking of ways to reach out to people during the pandemic. And one of the things we decided to do was a little Lenten reflection series over, I think we did it on Facebook Live, just gave a series of talks on holiness and got a great response and people that wanted to hear more and really loved the topics that I chose. And one of the people I was training during the pandemic worked for a publisher and she said, that sounds like a really great book. And she asked me to write it. And then for the next 2 years, I spent just researching and writing and was really happy with how it turned out.
That's so good.
It's such a great read, Matt. This was my first time going through the book, but I just found it to be so readable and so helpful. Very practical advice. The word holy is always a bit daunting, but when we think about it as being set apart and then going through it, I have a lot of things underlined. I feel like it's a book that I'll go back to.
Yes. Yeah, it's great. We've had some feedback on this podcast that people are definitely inspired to do a book study. One person said they would definitely invite their family to do a study on this because it would just be so easy, so accessible. So what an accessible gift you've given the church.
Yeah, it really is. It's really a book about Christian identity. It's about who we are in Christ. I also wanted people to learn from my mistakes, you know, the ways that I approached holiness that really weren't helpful. Can be very valuable too. I got this great testimony from someone over Easter who is a high school theology teacher. And she wrote I'd never been able to find a book that catches the undivided interests of 16 and 17 year olds. And this past year, I heard my students correcting themselves when they say, I need to work on being more holy. I mean, sanctified. It's so beautiful to see the fruit of that understanding growing them. And to me, that's really just gratifying to know that young people, 16, 17 years old, are discovering, no, I do need to see myself as holy, you know, and I'm not making myself holy. I'm growing in a lifestyle of holiness. Yeah. It's really great.
That's awesome.
That the message was simple enough that they could get it, you know.
And what a game changer for someone who knows that at 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to get trapped in shame or or pride.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. It's making me think about all the teaching I did, and whew, would have been great to have this book, Matt. So yeah, we're here to take a look at the final chapter, chapter 7, which kind of really about Matt's story of getting set free. So chapter 7 is called Overcoming Obstacles. There's so much to that. So Matt, just do you want to just kind of give a little broad strokes?
Sure. I think it was Pete Scazzaro in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. He talks a lot about hitting the wall in our Christian walk. Mm-hmm. And that is when you're making progress in your spiritual life. Maybe you're making better choices. Things are going along quite well. And then it seems like you can't go any further. You're stuck in certain patterns of sin, or you're just repeating the same behaviors and you don't really know why, and you just feel stuck. And sometimes people feel hopeless at that point. Mm. They either give into a quiet despair, or some people give up on their faith. Really, what it is it's an opportunity to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and for you to discover some of those internal obstacles, to recognize that you're in a battle for your mind, and that there are patterns of thinking and behavior that reflect ways in which we're not actually free, that we need to grow in spiritual freedom. And so this chapter is really an introduction to what we do with Unbound in helping people to expose deceptions that keep them in bondage, and exposing those deceptions, practicing the keys, forgiving, repenting, renouncing, that really help people walk in freedom. Would you like me to share a little bit of my story?
Totally would love that. Yeah.
So growing up, I was the third of four boys, experienced a lot of conflict in my family because of just the difference in personality between myself and the others. As a result, I kind of believed a lie that no one could understand me. And that became the root of a real obstacle in my life, because it fueled all these other behaviors from dishonesty to self-justification, needing to be right. You know, all these ways I was trying to protect myself from this fear that was rooted in this lie, like nobody can understand me, not my brothers, not my parents, nobody. And so God used this moment where I was in a conversation with my dad, and he brought up some issue, and I just got so angry with him. God really used that moment to expose my heart to me. And in praying with my dad, he had me forgive and to go back and repent of some things, but then to renounce that lie, the lie that no one could understand me, that just opened the door to so much more freedom. And so I think for a lot of folks, as they pursue a lifestyle of holiness, when they hit that wall, instead of getting hopeless or, you know, just do better, try harder, take a moment to reflect, ask the Holy Spirit, show me what I'm not seeing. And he can help use these five keys that we teach in Unbound to respond in a way that invites his grace into those areas.
To me, it's just so striking, you know, your identity, who you thought you were, or how you saw yourself, was affected by this lie, and then every relationship
it affected everything.
So you're out there on your own, and you're not receiving the love and support of those around you. And so foundationally, this was a life-changing moment for you.
Sure. And no amount of willpower would have gotten me out of that.
No.
It has to be the grace of the Holy Spirit.
we live on a hill, a pretty big hill, and people love to come and train on our hill, like the high school track teams. Yeah. And there's always people with backpacks full of rocks running up our hill. And I just had this picture of you like carrying this big heavy backpack trying to get uphill, and you're just trying really hard. But yeah. Wow, what a gift to get be able to put that backpack down. And
Yeah.
So yeah, Lisa, what are your thoughts on this? Is so great because Lisa, you know, here's Matt who's been thinking about all this stuff for years, and Lisa's first time reading it.
Yes. Well, I love chapter 7 in context of this podcast. I've read the book, but the chapter 7 is such a wonderful conclusion. I thought you were going to ask me what jumped out to me, because the first thing that jumped out to me was the fact that Matt jumped out a window.
I love that.
Definitely so part Matt, of my story.
If I'm ever mad at you, I'll just say, go jump out a window. But you were okay, I guess, when you landed outside. It wasn't a sidewalk or concrete. Okay, yeah. I'm glad
first
you were
story. Okay. First story.
That's window. A pretty high first story.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a jump. That was part of my dealing with conflict was either escaping or fighting back.
Fight or flight. Yep. And you took flight. Mm-hmm. Very creative way. But seriously, the concept that really, really stood out to me as I started delving into chapter 7 was page 119, where you say, what the devil intended for my destruction, God has redeemed. He has turned my struggle into a great blessing, and God can do the same for you. And I just found that that was such an encouraging message, and how in the scriptures we see a lot of good examples of that, particularly Joseph. You know, he's thrown into a pit, sold as a slave. Mm-hmm. Talk about destruction. And yet God redeemed it all. And of course, the story of Christ, what the devil intended for destruction in the garden, Christ redeemed. Mm-hmm. And it's really that story is each of the story of our lives, of how God takes the attacks of Satan. And as we seek him and get free, redemption happens not only to us, but then we can pass that on to others, as Joseph did. All the Israelites, they had food. So that really stood out to me. And I think that's just a message to always remember, because when difficult things happen, that God can bring good out of all of this. Mm-hmm. And then the other part that I really just felt like I'll go back to again and again was just the common lies of the enemy and how to renounce them. Mm-hmm. And what I found myself thinking as I was reading through this was just how you are really sharing with readers the fruit of years of praying unbound ministry with people. And so that you can see some of the common tactics that Satan uses, some of the common lies. And for me, it was just so helpful to see them right there in black and white. You know, God is not good. He cannot be trusted. Something else will satisfy me. Mm. I am never safe. It's hopeless. I must protect myself. And I could go through those and think about times that I've probably fallen into each of those things in different situations. But it also is a safeguard for me that when I start thinking those things, I can realize, wait, I'm not thinking truth here. And so it's a sign that there's a way that I'm thinking that's not in freedom. Mm. And then we can always be praying the five keys just on our own as well. And so to take that when I realize I'm believing a lie and renounce that and just give that up to the Lord. So I just want to thank you for that. That's one of the pages, I think, starting on page 120, but I think I'll go back to that a few times, more than a few, but just probably over the years, I think I'm thinking this way. Let me go back and read that part again.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, I love the more I pray with people, the more times I minister to people, you realize like we're all part of the human family. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all impacted by sin in these common ways. We're not alone. We think, oh, I'm the only person who thinks this. I'm the only person who struggles with this. And then you have these common lies, but then also the behaviors that are motivated by it. You know, how does a person who feels hopeless respond? You know, how does a person who feels like no one could ever love them respond? And we can renounce those things too.
And even that idea that I'm alone, I'm the only person who feels that way. That's a lie too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is so good having words to articulate our experience. And I think the ones you chose, Matt, to put in this chapter, as Lisa said, are so helpful. And I also like that you sort of are making the transition from this book and what it means to been made holy by Jesus, but then into what we do in Unbound Ministry. What I was just remembering a few times in an Unbound session where I was able to offer an example, a word, you know, the lie that you'll never be good enough or whatever, to see someone just take those words and renounce them and then be just overwhelmed by how significant and intertwined that lie was. So these are powerful things to become aware of and to renounce. Yeah. It's just so
just the big. Articulating them verbally has a lot of power.
Lot of power.
And then the victory kind of rushes in. You know, it's like, I didn't have the key. I didn't have the key that I needed. And all of a sudden I have it. And it's like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
So it's good for people to know that there is an enemy, that there are obstacles, that there's strategies involved, and the Holy Spirit can help you uncover them.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just fighting yourself. You're not just fighting, you know, just your flesh. It's part of a strategy.
And if you've been listening for 40, 50 years, sometimes you just need a little help from someone to help you see that it's not you.
Yep.
So before we end this, there's so much more to this chapter and to the book. So I'm going to encourage all listeners, if you didn't get a chance to read it, please pick up a copy of Free to Be Holy and jump in. It's a great beach read. But Matt, you have had a lot of incredible feedback about this book. You've had tons of people pour in testimonies and you've had some big names talk about your book. So just give us a little story of how things are going.
Yeah, it's been fun. I've had a lot of opportunities to speak in Catholic parishes and Legatus meetings and just different walks of life where people are, you know, whether it's a businessman who's, you know, he's like, I struggle with pride and self-performance, or a woman who's for all her life thought that, you know, holiness meant changing into someone else and realizing that, oh no, holiness means being who I am, you know. Just those breakthroughs are so fun. Got to be on a TV show with Dr. Scott Hahn and Father Dave Pavanka in Steubenville at Franciscan Presents. That was just a lot of fun to talk to theologians about, you know, the practical side of holiness and things like that. It's just been great. It's just been so well received. I'm so grateful to The Word Among Us for publishing it and taking a risk on a new author. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a real blessing to me.
It's a real significant blessing to the church. Really excited to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, it just got published it's going to be published in French. And the Croatian version is out now, thanks to my friend Mate.
Shout out to Mate.
Yeah. Good job, Mate.
Awesome.
I know that when you talked with Dr. Scott Hahn about it, he said that he felt like his book on holiness and your book really made good companions. Mm-hmm. He said it was a 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
I'm not a theologian. I think more practically. So I think Matt's book is a lot more for me to read, and really nothing against Dr. Scott Hahn's book. I'm sure it's amazing.
It's good. I've read it. It's really good.
No, that's great. I'm glad you said it, because that was my favorite part of that interview. And then, you know, Matt and Dr. Hahn did a podcast together as well. Mm-hmm. And he said it again, but what an affirmation
to
have someone who's studied holiness and the scriptures and you know, wrote this very significant book, and to say that they're good companions. Mm-hmm. And it's a 1-2 punch.
Quite an honor to be mentioned in the same sentence as Dr. Hahn, for sure.
It's like a manual. It's kind of like a practical manual for holiness, is what I would say your book is, Matt.
So much more we could talk about. I'm going to, again, encourage anyone to just take another deep dive into the book. But Matt, we would be honored if you would pray for our listeners as we end our series here.
Sure. I'm going to close with the prayer. Well, it's really the last paragraph of the book. So I'm just going to read that for you. May the Spirit of Christ in you make you strong, that you might perceive the depths of God's love and say yes to the life of Jesus in you. Say yes to a sacrificial life, as Christ laid down his life for you. Say yes to a joyful life, filled with anticipation of future glory. With every choice, with every yes, let us embrace the love that has captured our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Lisa.
Welcome.
And before you sign off, just one announcement. We have our local Philadelphia Area Freedom in Christ conference coming up April 26th and 27th at St. Lawrence Church. I'll link the info, and you can also find it on our website, heartofthefather.com. Have a blessed week.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.